Once again this evening, I would like to begin by joining with Randy in welcoming everyone here. If you're visiting with us tonight, we appreciate your presence. If you have any questions about the things you hear or see, we hope you'll ask those questions, and we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. And it really is a special privilege to assemble with the saints who work and worship here on a regular basis. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the Lord Jesus, through John the Apostle, wrote letters to seven churches in the Roman province of Asia. Now understand, these weren't the only churches in the province, but I believe the Lord chose seven because seven is the perfect number in Revelation. It denotes completeness or perfection. I believe that every circumstance that may be found in a congregation of Christ can be seen in one or more of these churches. He wrote to the church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, the church at Pergamos, the church at Thyatira, the church at Sardis, the church at Philadelphia, and the church at Laodicea. Now these churches were spread out. There was about 40 miles between Ephesus and Smyrna. There was about 65 miles between Smyrna and Pergamos. Between Ephesus and Laodicea, there was 100 miles. But here's what I want us to do today. I want us to imagine that these are seven congregations in the same city. These are seven congregations within driving distance. And let's say that you live right here. Now on our map, this would be the city of Colossae. By the way, there was a church in Colossae. Proof that there were more than just the seven congregations. But for tonight, I want us to engage in an exercise. And let's pretend that all of these seven congregations were in the same city, all within driving distance. And we lived right here where Colossae would be located. And let's imagine that we just moved to town and we're going to pick a congregation to work and worship with. Which one would you pick? Now, before we do that, I want to first establish that we do need to place membership with a local congregation. Maybe someone would ask, well, is it even necessary to identify with a local church? Would they need to pick one to work and worship with? The answer is yes. I don't know why some brethren argue that you don't need to place membership. The New Testament is clear, you do need to place membership. We have an apostolic example in Acts chapter 9. The Bible says that Paul came to Jerusalem and joined the disciples. That is, he placed membership with the church at Jerusalem. Do you realize if there is no designated membership, then there is no local church? How can you have a local church if there are no members within that church? You could have no eldership. How can the elders oversee a flock when there is no designated flock? You couldn't practice discipline. The New Testament over and over again tells us to exercise discipline when necessary. Well, if there is no designated membership, then how could we ever practice discipline? You know, when this question is asked to me, must I be a member somewhere? I can't help but ask, why wouldn't you want to be a member? Why would you resist that? Could it be that you don't want to be held accountable? Could it be you don't want to serve under elders? I guess everybody has their reasons, but I'm telling you the scriptural pattern is clear. When we obey the gospel, we're added by the Lord to the universal church. It is then our responsibility to identify with a local church. We are to place membership. Well, assuming that we just moved to this new town, and there are seven congregations in it, which congregation are we going to identify with? Where would we place our membership? Well, I guess that would depend on what you look for in a local church. Maybe it's all about convenience for you. Maybe you're going to go to the closest congregation, period. Nothing else really matters. If it's a Church of Christ, and it's the closest Church of Christ, that's where you're going to be a member. I would not necessarily recommend that, but maybe that's true with you. Well, then guess what? You would identify with the church at Laodicea. That's by far the closest congregation to you. If that's all that matters, I want to be able to get there and get back quickly. Whatever congregation is the most convenient, that's where I'll be a member. Then you, in this situation, would place your membership at Laodicea. Maybe it's about reputation. You want to be a member of the congregation in town that has the best reputation. The congregation that everybody talks about. Well, if that's true with you, then you'd be a member at Sardis. The Lord said in Revelation 3, they had a great reputation among men. Well, if it's all about reputation, then you'd probably find a home right there in Sardis. Maybe you're interested in a church with a great history. You want to be a member of the congregation that's been there the longest or had the most popular preachers work with them. Well, if that's true, you would probably find a home at Ephesus. I believe that Ephesus was the oldest congregation in Asia. The Apostle Paul founded the church there and worked with it for several years. Well, if you're interested in a congregation's past, if you want to identify with the church that has been there the longest or has the best history, then you'd probably find a home in Ephesus. Maybe you're interested in a congregation that's not going to be so militant in its preaching and teaching. Maybe you don't like sermons that are quick to expose error. Maybe you don't like sermons that step on sin. You'd rather be in a congregation that's a bit more soft or tolerant. Well, you'd find a home either in Pergamos or Thyatira. They were about the same when it comes to preaching. Both were very soft and very tolerant. Maybe you want to be a member of a congregation that has the best building. It's all about facilities for you. Which congregation has the best building? Well, I would assume out of these seven churches, that would be Laodicea. Laodicea was certainly the most wealthy church. I assume they probably, out of these seven congregations, had the best meeting place. Well, if it's all about the building for you, you don't mind driving a little bit further, you don't care much about how strong or not strong they are doctrinally, maybe you just want to be a member of the church with the best building. Well, that would probably be Laodicea. Maybe it's all about numbers. And let's be frank. With a lot of brethren, it is about numbers. They want to be at the biggest church. I can't help but think that's just a reflection of our society. Would anyone argue that we live in the mega church age? Look at all the mega churches that have sprang up in the last 10 or so years. And people flock to these churches. Why? Because that's where the people are. They want to be a member of the big church, the church with the most people. Well, maybe that's you. Maybe you moved to town and it's all about numbers. Nothing else really matters. If that's where the majority goes, that's where you want to go. That would probably be Ephesus. I say that because Ephesus had a long history. It had been around for at least 30 years by the time the Lord wrote this letter. We know that it had an eldership. Remember in Acts 20, verse 17, Paul called the elders at Ephesus. So we know it had an eldership. Here's my point. What do you look for in a local church? Maybe you look for a church that has unconditional peace. And what I mean by unconditional peace is this. Under no circumstances will they ever rock the boat. They are going to have peace no matter what. Peace at all costs. You know, there are some brethren who are so weak and timid They can't stand any dissension, even when the dissension is needful. You know, if you have error being taught or immorality being tolerated, you know, the Bible said, remember in our Bible class this morning, that when Judaizers came to Antioch teaching error, that there was no small dissension. If it wasn't a small dissension, that means it was a big dissension. And here the apostles were involved in it. My point is simply this. Nobody likes dissension. Nobody wants there to be a situation in a congregation where people have to be opposed or a practice must be opposed. We all want peace, but it ought not to be peace at all costs. But maybe you're one of these brethren who everything always has to be perfect. In fact, the first sign that things aren't perfect, you're out the door. Well, if that's you, you'd probably find a home in Sardis. That church was so tactful, it apparently made no contact at all. Maybe that's where you'd be comfortable. I want you to honestly ask yourself, what is it? What is it that matters most to me about a local church? If you moved to this town and these were your seven choices, where would you place membership? What matters most to you? Maybe you say, Aaron, it's all about love. If the brethren love one another, that's all that matters. Nothing else matters to me. It's all about love. Well, if that's true with you, then you'd find a home in Thyatira. That was the one church that was actually praised for its love. Aaron, what are you getting at? These things are not necessarily sinful in and of themselves. I like numbers. I want to grow. I would love to see this congregation overflowing with people. But that's not what matters most. I would love to have a nicer building, though this one's nice. But that's not what matters most. I would love for this congregation to have a glowing reputation. I wish everybody everywhere spoke highly of us. They don't always speak highly of us. But that's not what matters most. This congregation has a great history among the Lord's people. Some of the finest preachers I've known have labored here. This congregation has a good history. But that's not what matters most. You see, these things, convenience. It's great if you can find a solid congregation nearby. But that's not always the case. Sometimes you may have to travel. Convenience is nice, but that's not what matters most. Here's my point. We've looked at all of these things. And at the end of the day, if you noticed, practically every church was mentioned but two. Did you notice which two weren't mentioned? Smyrna and Philadelphia. Smyrna was the poor church. That is, physically speaking, the Lord said they were poor. And the Greek word for poor means destitute. They didn't just have a little, they had nothing. While Philadelphia was the weak church. That means in terms of its influence and potential, it was smaller and weaker than the rest. If you were to visit Smyrna or Philadelphia, chances are you'd find that they didn't have very nice meeting places. They probably didn't have large numbers. They didn't have a great reputation among brethren. They weren't very wealthy. If you lived down in Colossae, they wouldn't be the most convenient church for you to attend. All of these things that we mentioned, at the end of the day, these two churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, would be at the bottom. But did you know those are the only two churches out of the seven that the Lord praised without any rebuke? Maybe you're kind of impressed by Ephesus. And by the way, Ephesus had a lot to boast about, quote unquote. Doctrinally, Ephesus was sound. The Lord commends them for hating the teachings of the Nicolaitans. That was a false doctrine. The Lord commends them for testing the so-called apostles and proving them to be liars. When it comes to doctrine, Ephesus was very strong. But in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, the Lord said to Ephesus, "I have this against you. You have left or abandoned your first love." Maybe the church at Laodicea was very appealing. Maybe you were saying to yourself during this exercise, if I were living there, I would be a member at Laodicea. That would be the most convenient congregation. They had the nicest building. They were wealthy. Did you know the Lord said to Laodicea, "You make me sick," in Revelation 3? The Lord said, "I want to spew you out of my mouth." Maybe you're saying to yourself, the church at Sardis, that's the one for me. That's where I want to be a member. If I were living in this town, I would go to Sardis. Sardis had a great reputation among men. Sardis was at peace with man. But did you know what the Lord said in Revelation 3, verse 1? "You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead." What? Out of the seven, this one had the best reputation. Out of the seven, this one had the most peace. And yet the Lord said, "In my eyes, you are D-E-A-D, dead." Wow. Pergamos, Thyatira, though they had certain things to praise, did you know that the Lord rebuked them both for tolerating error? Both congregations were rebuked by the Lord for tolerating error. The only two congregations, and this is really my point tonight, the only two congregations that received no rebuke whatsoever from the Lord were the two congregations that would least appeal to most Christians today. That's my point. Brethren, we have the wrong standard. I want large numbers, but it's not about large numbers. I want a nice meeting house, but it's not about the meeting house. I want a great reputation, but it's not about what man thinks. I would love it if our contribution was much higher. I wish we were a wealthier church. We could do more. But it's not about the money. The two congregations that the Lord admired most were the very congregations that most Christians today wouldn't even visit. Out of the seven in town, well, you know, those two, I don't know. They're kind of poor and they're small and they're persecuted, you know. Out of the two, or out of the seven, those two were the two that the Lord praised the most. Brethren, what I'm saying is this. When we identify with a church, let's make sure that we're picking a church for the right reasons. And by the way, let me say this. There's no inherent virtue in being small numerically. There are congregations of Christ in this town that are small, but weak. And I mean weak doctrinally. Congregations that are just going through the motions right here in Louisville. There's not inherent virtue in being small. There may be a good reason they're small. They're not doing anything. All right? There's nothing inherently sinful, on the other hand, with having a great reputation among men. There's nothing wrong with having a large contribution. These things can be very good. There's nothing wrong with having the most beautiful building in town. I wish that were us. All I'm saying is let's make sure we don't get caught up in human standards. The two congregations that would appeal to us the least were the two the Lord admired most. There's a lesson in that. There's a lesson in that. Well, let's shift gears and ask this. What do we look like as a congregation? We ask the question, what would you look for? Well, what do we look like here at South End? You know, all of these congregations had a little something to admire. And what we have the privilege of doing today is seeing their virtues and their vices, their highs and their lows. You've heard the expression, eat the meat, throw away the bones. That's what we can do. Let's strive to get the good parts from Ephesus, the good parts out of Pergamos and Thyatira, Sardis and Laodicea. But let's learn from the bad things too. Let's throw those things away. Let's not only admire Smyrna and Philadelphia, let's apply Smyrna and Philadelphia. Do you see what I'm saying? I believe the Lord wrote to these seven churches because they sufficiently represent any church in any era. Let's make sure we have the good things from all seven. And let's make sure we don't have the negative things, the things that were rebuked. You know, Thyatira was a loving church. The Lord specifically praised Thyatira for its love. On the other hand, it condemned Ephesus for not having love. Are we a loving church? By the way, I think so. I don't think we have a problem there. But brethren, there's always room for improvement. Thyatira, on the other hand, was rebuked for being weak doctrinally. They would just sit back and tolerate error. Ephesus, its contrast, was praised for being militant. Are we strong doctrinally? Are we ready and willing to stand up for the truth? I think so. But brethren, there's always room for improvement. There's always things that we can identify and improve on. Let's not let society's standards be our standards. Let's make sure that we're evaluating ourselves and others based on God's view, based on God's perception. We're a good congregation in many ways. I believe that. In fact, I'm biased perhaps, but I've been around the block visiting churches all over the country. And very few churches, in my judgment, have to offer what we have to offer. We have to thank God for that. But brethren, at the same time, let's not grow complacent. By the way, I think that's what happened with Ephesus. You know, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians in about AD 62, he praised them for their love. By AD 95, when the book of Revelation was written, they had abandoned that love. That ought to serve as a warning to all churches of Christ. Do not grow complacent. Just because we were faithful yesterday does not mean we'll be faithful tomorrow. Just because we were strong doctrinally, just because we had love and concern for one another, just because we had a great reputation in the past, that doesn't guarantee our tomorrow. I love this congregation, and you do too. Let's praise God for what we have, but let's learn from these congregations. Let's improve where we can. Which congregation would you be a member at if you lived back then? That's certainly a worthwhile exercise. If you're here tonight and not a child of God, we never conclude a service without offering an invitation, an opportunity for you to come to Jesus Christ in humble obedience. Will you come tonight believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If so, understand that saving faith is an obedient faith. It is an active, working faith. The Lord Himself said you must repent, you must confess, and you must be buried in the waters of baptism. If you'll take those simple steps, you'll rise up out of that water born again. I don't care what you've done. All of your past sins will be forgiven. And if you live faithfully unto death, He'll give you a crown of life. If you've never obeyed the gospel, maybe you've thought about it. Maybe you've almost done it. Why not make tonight the night by coming forward as we stand and sing?